Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucka.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We managed to save some of these topics and didn't spoil them all on our live show on Saturday, which was so fun. It went so well.
So much fun. I mean, we got to do it again. It was just the perfect little intimate crowd. We had a great time. I don't know. What else can we share? What else can we share from it?
We did decide we are going to publish it as a podcast sometime next week, because most of the things that we discussed were not timely. And, you know, I will say that sometimes I skip the live versions of my favorite podcasts. I get like FOMO. I don't always think they're as good, but having now produced and been at one, that was silly. They're like the best, like you can't miss this one. It was great. The audience was great. Thank you so much. It was so fun to be able to chat with people. I don't mean this in a bad way, but I'm so glad it's over.
I know what you mean. Yes, I too feel that way. I hate having something live hanging over my head because it's like this black hole of time that you have to be really like prepped for.
Right.
And
things could still change. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm happy it's over. But yeah, we're going to plan another one. Don't worry.
Definitely. I know, because I moved and then I had the live show so close together. So I've been looking forward to clearing those two hurdles for months. So now I'm just like, oh, I feel
great.
Now
you just have your wedding.
Now just my wedding, which is now 9 weeks away. That's now I really have to focus on that. And now's the time. I'm looking at my list above my head. I don't know why I keep it in front of me when I'm working. It's probably not good for my...
Yeah, that seems like it's going to induce some anxiety.
I think so. But, you know, Sammy, that's the only thing. That's the only way I get something done. If I'm not petrified of the outcome, nothing's getting done. Hence the successful live show.
Honestly, I know what you mean, sadly.
Ugh, can you believe it's August?
No. Ew. I can't. But also, yay, kind of.
I like August. It's usually very, very slow. And previously, I have like not planned well enough for it to be slow, but this time I've sort of like gotten more ahead of like filling in the gaps. And now I'm like, I don't know, Sammy, I'm feeling good today. I'm like just coasting ahead. Loving August.
No. I like starting a month that I know people don't take as seriously. Like
that's
there's
what
nothing
it is.
More intimidating than starting the month of October, frankly. Or like
right, January.
Or that day, that first day after Labor Day, or like January 3rd. Those are just deeply stressful days because you know
totally.
That everyone's energy is like, we're on, you know?
Yeah. Which this is the inverse of that.
Yeah, no, I want the off energy, low pressure, you know. Mix of personal and business.
Especially when you feel like you've earned it, which I feel like we all have. It's nice to, I mean, we're going to have podcast episodes every day. Don't you worry, but we're just prepping some fun ones, some interviews, keeping it timely, keeping it fun and fresh. It'll be a fun August we're not taking any days off. There will be episodes every day.
No, we are not taking days off. I am actually still planning to record the morning announcements during my vacation later this month. And yeah, what kind of vacation would it be without also following the news on a daily basis and having
to run back? In a different time zone.
Right. Having to run back to my hotel room either right before or right after dinner so that I can like quickly jot down the tragedies of the world in a script and then read them.
Nothing says peace and zen quite like that.
You know, nothing says work-life balance like that.
Well, luckily, yeah, for you, that is happening during August. So yeah, you will mix some leisure with some morning nuns, but we pray for a chill news cycle for everybody on the planet. God,
this is
please
honestly,
help us.
It's how I get through, mm-hmm. You know, really intense news and then just quiet time.
Right. Extreme balance. So we are a few days late to this story that we're going to discuss today, but we have to go over it because it is a huge deal. Joe Manchin has agreed to a budget deal addressing the climate crisis and prescription drug prices. So we all remember a few weeks ago, and also just every few months for the last two-ish years, that Manchin pulled his potential vote from provisions that raise spending. This is a dance. This is a very unfun, unsexy dance we have been engaged in since January 2021. But last week, Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer announced they brokered a surprise secret bill, and it's pretty good. Environmentalists and progressives seem fairly happy with this bill, recognizing that something big needed to get done before the midterms, not only to potentially help Democrats win the midterms, but also because if Democrats lose and Republicans take the House and Senate, there was not going to be any ground here. So I'm actually, part of our discussion later will be sort of like how much of this was altruism and how much of this was like for political benefit. There were many concessions to get here, and the New York Times pointed these tensions out in their story on this. I want to read their lead. Congress is suddenly poised to pass the most ambitious climate bill in the United States history, largely written by a senator from a coal state who became a millionaire from his family's coal business and has taken more campaign cash from the oil and gas industry than any of his colleagues have. I sent you this paragraph, and I was like, this broke my brain.
Yeah, I mean, It both doesn't make sense, and then it also makes complete sense that he would be the holdout, and you just have to wait for like this coal trust fund kid to be like, right. fine.
It's that dire that even he knew.
It's like, dude, haven't you heard of pivoting? Like, you can still have a very good business. And maybe he finally figured out how to make that happen. He's like, you know what? Fine. I hired the right guy to now that we've I've arranged my personal affairs, we can work on this bill. is the energy I'm getting from this. But you know what? I hate being a hostage to this man, but whatever.
I know.
You know, you do need to let your hostage taker free you. So
Yes. Amen. That is where we are. That's healthy. That's a healthy society. I want to very quickly summarize what's in this package, and then we'll get back into how it came to be and what the policy and political impacts could be. I've seen this described as a bill that puts the U.S. at the forefront of global climate action. Everything I read, I think, is being hyperbolic. And then I read more and everyone's like, no, this is a big deal. This is by far the biggest thing the country has ever done on climate. It dedicates $369 billion to things like tax incentives to ramp up clean energy industries. So that's like wind, solar, anything with zero carbon over the next decade. So that's a big change from before when the government bankrolled incentives for like a year or two. So that wasn't really a big incentive. So basically, companies would also receive financial incentives to keep open nuclear plants that have closed. I think like 13 have closed in the past couple years or decades. And, you know, people have all sorts of opinions on nuclear power, but when those plants close, usually fossil fuels take their place and fill the gaps. It would also give coal plants incentives to capture emissions before they cause so much damage. This is something that's pretty expensive and hard to do, so I think there needs to be the financial incentives, and this makes it more likely that those plants can remain operating, so probably something that Manchin was able to secure. I think West Virginia is like the second biggest coal state. Manchin also got a lot of funding for projects that will benefit West Virginians, including treatment for black lung disease. I think that's your first sign that maybe these coal plants aren't a long-term solution, is when you also have to secure permanent funding for black lung disease treatment.
Yeah, a joke. I mean, something we all learned about famously from Zoolander and in like, what, 1999? And yet here we are.
Here we are.
Still not acknowledging, or, you know, finally we are acknowledging.
This bill would also incentivize solar and wind companies to make their home base in places where coal fields had recently closed. So this is kind of like what you were saying is something that will benefit him and the people in his state, is to get these first, like a kind of two-pronged approach is incentivize companies and industries to be solar and wind companies and then give them even more financial incentives to go to West Virginia and places where people have lost jobs. There are about 45,000 people nationwide who have lost their jobs as a result of coal field closing. Makes sense. I mean, it's like when you think about things in America's history that, because Manchin has said this jobs thing, people need to maintain their jobs in these areas before, but throughout history, there have been things that simply like, I don't think we let people keep, like what we do to the lead paint factories, you know, it's like when these things are going to cause real damage, we have to provide alternatives. And it's great to see that he was able to find a path towards those alternatives.
Right. I mean, people have been losing their jobs in the coal industry for years. So are you saying that every single one of those people hasn't found a job? Like, right. I don't understand. When people lose a job, they tend to find a new one in whatever industry makes sense that their skills transpose onto, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then with something, if they had just like done this a long time ago, they could have had job training and they could have had, maybe they could have even had like stipends for people who lose their job in the coal plant and need to go find another one. Like, that's the point of a social safety net, so that we can advance as a society without having to worry that we are like screwing people over. But you can't do that without money that you pour into that. So it's could have happened a long time ago, but whatever. Better late than never, as
they say. Do you think that he rode the coal industry until the wheels fell off, and just the wheels fell off, and that's what brought him here?
Yes, I do. I don't think that, how much longer could he have gone for? Kentucky is, I mean, underwater. Like, I don't know what, how are you going to get to your coal mine if you're flooded? I just don't even understand. Like,
do you know how there are those, you know, like, in elementary school, you spend, at least in my elementary school years, they spend so much time teaching you about like the 19th century, like the 19th and early 20th centuries. Yeah. And so, like,
that's,
I always,
our pride and joy.
Yeah. In my head, coal mines sort of like, and I, of course, I know they are huge trades for people, but in my head, they have always sort of been in the category of like things that we no longer do anymore because black lung disease and look what it does to the air. And yeah, it is crazy that it took this long to ensure that people in those fields had other options.
Right. Like, I feel that you probably could have learned to install a solar panel at some point during these intervening years.
That sounds so much more fucking pleasant. Maybe that's elitist to say.
You don't have to go underground. I don't think there's a risk of catching a respiratory ailment, forming a respiratory ailment. So, you know what? Like, people, no one's like, for the most part, oh, this job is like so amazing that they have. Like, people change jobs all the time. And think about like people who were journalists in 2008. Many of them are just working in like branded media. Like, it's just sort of, you have to kind of follow the industry. And I don't know why there's so much resistance to that.
Well, I mean, I guess for the people that this was their one and only skill, like you said, like if they weren't confident, they would be able to transition into new industry. But I don't know what, I don't know if there are also training programs to transition people into solar and gas. But like you said, like they're probably on the job trainings.
I mean, here's the thing. All of that could, and I'm sure, was proposed by past bills. It's not like I'm the first person to think of giving people training to do a new job. Like, and that's when Bernie Sanders wants to give $6 trillion and the, you know, the bill gets cut in half and then cut in a third.
Oh my God, I forgot it was spending.
Bernie Sanders wanted $6 trillion towards this grouping of things. Then it became, oh, we're going to propose a $3 trillion Build Back Better bill. Then it became like 1.2 or something. And now we're at like $400 billion. Fine. We'll take it.
I think altogether it's like 740.
Over time. Okay, yes, fair. Yes, but it was supposed to be six. And I imagine that part of $6 trillion. So I imagine that part of that $6 trillion, I believe, was for job training.
I suspect.
So it's like, yeah, the more you pay for, the better bill you're going to get.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So let's talk about some things that climate activists aren't thrilled about, and those are provisions that continue to allow for federal leasing for oil and gas. Manchin's view on fossil fuels is that it's just not realistic to go without them yet. And you and I were talking about this before, that like politically speaking, maybe now when gas is so expensive is not really the time to kind of like pull back or just make it look like you're dramatically pulling back on that. It's just a great talking point for Republicans. It's easy for voters to understand. Like, gas is very expensive. That is top of mind for people. Another thing that I think is kind of fun and cool is that if you make less than $150,000, which is, you know, most people in the country, you can get a $7,500 tax credit for a new electric car or a $4,000 one for a used electric car.
I love that.
That seems That's like amazing. The thing to message about. Like the Biden administration is giving you $7,500 for a free car.
Right. That is like New Deal quality messaging. Let's get on that.
Mm-hmm.
To your point about the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that will probably become obsolete just a little after coal. We're just getting off of coal. Let's let go of our dependencies one thing at a time. But
totally.
I do think he happens to be right about this particular moment in time with inflation. And this just isn't the time. Like, we have so many things to do that I think, especially now, or not even, you know, this is not the time to cut back on the availability of gas and oil while people still don't have electric cars. You know, it would be one thing if everyone was kind of, if electric cars were way more popular mm-hmm. and that people could afford for gas prices to go up. But I, as mm-hmm. it is now, like homes and cars and offices, like things are not on renewable energy sources enough yet that I think we can be limiting the supply of oil at this moment. So Manchin was right. I agree with him here.
Yeah, and I think it's like a nice, it's nice for Biden not to have to defend that and it, around the midterms, for people not to have to defend like, oh yeah, we're not going to do any more leases for drilling when, you know, we're really having trouble getting like with gas prices and like Russia is all of our sources are hostile and fucking terrible and we have to fist bump murderers.
Yeah, I think this is one, right. I think this is one of, and yeah, that Saudi Arabia stuff all ties into this. I completely agree. This is like the first time that I can recall that I actually believe like Joe Manchin's concern is in good faith. And I think that he is right about this.
Yeah. His big statement was sort of like, we just have to be realistic and creative about how rapidly we can do this.
Right. Like, why don't we talk about in a year after people have used their $7,500 mm-hmm. tax credit to buy their electric vehicle? Why don't we talk about a weaning schedule?
Perfect.
Somebody start giving these kids some solid foods and see how they handle it. You know, baby-led weaning.
Yeah, voter-led weaning.
Joe Manchin is the baby.
Totally. Totally. But he just gags on everything.
Yeah, but, you know, he really will be gagging on the air quality if he continues his bullshit.
The original big bill also had a ton of money in this for charging stations. I have to imagine some of that stayed in, because if you're going to give all of these people money for electric cars, you've got to give them somewhere to plug them in.
Yeah. That's another thing. Like, people can't just, if you have all these electric cars,
it has to be just as convenient.
Yeah.
And I think that this definitely gets us there. And just when you, it's just now that it's actually likely, it's just so common sense. Like, there's no other option for the future. And when you're talking to your friends and family about this, the headline victory here, I would say, is that the legislation would enable the U.S. to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 40% below 2005 levels by 2030. And Biden had proposed an ambitious 50% during this campaign. So, like, that's like really freaking, that's really close. Like, this is a big deal. Activists are pretty happy with this. I mean, I think I was reading something from the NRDC that said, yeah, the fossil fuel things is annoying, but over time, the impact of these positive things is about 10 times bigger. And that's huge.
Yeah, I think this is one of those places where, like, the concept of, let's say, a moderate and a centrist get, like, mixed up. Like, I think a moderate or moderate view can synthesize this as a good thing. A centrist view... like, would see this as like, no, like, we're not like making everybody equal happy. But mm-hmm. here we're making some progress. We're making, let's be real, the best progress that I think we can possibly make.
Progress worth making. Yeah,
totally. If we felt like we could get more, we would be criticizing it. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're lucky he's even agreeing. We could be in 3 hours cursing him out because he changed his mind. So mm-hmm. just, you know.
I know. Exactly. And we know he tends to seem to be pretty sour about criticism, but he went on all 5 Sunday shows yesterday and he said to Jake Tapper on The Left's Critiques, quote, "I take none of that personally at all. I understand the frustrations they had." What do you think made Joe Manchin change his mind? Because I do not think it was the kayak protesters.
No. I think he gets to see himself as the hero. You know, I think that he gets to be seen as this middle of the road guy, a consensus builder. And look, even the activists are happy with the bill. So kind of like all of his tantruming paid off. He's like,
for him.
You know, but yeah.
For everybody, but for him especially. I mean, I'm even fucking like feeling warm towards this man reading through all this great stuff.
Do you remember the day after Trump won the election and he was like not as crazy, like for a minute? Mm-hmm. He was like quiet and like almost conciliatory for about 24 hours.
Trump.
Yes. Yeah. I watched it's like when a narcissist gets like enough supply for a time, I think they can like be a little bit conciliatory because they're like, I can be the benevolent bigger person for a minute. And I think that happens once like they feel that they've like won over the haters and losers and suckers.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like his conciliatory, oh, they're their tone is, it comes from the fact that he knows that he won and he ultimately got what he wanted without having to screw over any of his personal affairs too badly. And, you know, now you feel warmth towards him. Think about if you feel warmth towards him, what like the out of touch person now thinks of him. So
totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, 69% of voters in West Virginia backed Trump in 2020. So I think that probably this is a big win for them, for him. I mean, he was able to hold on to this until he got some real concessions that will like certainly probably disproportionately impact West Virginia residents more than, you know, like California or something. Do you think it's the sign of a healthy political system, though, that one senator refused to support climate provisions that will impact the entire planet, which is like 7 billion people, until getting concessions for his state of 1.8 million people?
No, probably not. Fucked. This is just like, you know, it's like a broken clock is right twice a day type of situation. Like we were right on the that gun-ish thing. We're right on this. It's like you're kind of right, but this is hardly the future liberals want.
Yeah, that's such a funny way to put it. Yeah, truly. Twice a day. I mean, these common sense things. So I also am curious. I mean, this is a huge win for Biden and Democrats in Congress. Do you think this will translate into a political win? And how can it? How would you hype this up in the next few months before the midterms? Because as much as these are huge things, like I still think, unfortunately, climate isn't the sexiest issue. It's not the most viral issue. It's not the most memeable issue. It's not necessarily the most urgently present issue for people who are really really concerned right now about abortion rights and LGBTQ rights, not to say, you know, create a scarcity mindset, but how would you hype this up as a win, as the reason, like, this is why you should keep voting for them?
$7,500 for a new car, bitches. That is how I'm hyping it up.
Yeah. I got to make sure I got that right.
People do not pay attention to the nuances. Climate is not even their first thing because they're like, oh, well, I guess I could just like avoid this flood and like hopefully avoid this wildfire and like maybe they'll fix it at some point in the future and I won't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I think that Democrats need to come up with 5 one-sentence messages and just keep repeating them over and over. Figure out what works where, who, what appeals to. Like, it really doesn't need to be nearly as complicated as I feel that the party makes it. And obviously here we're talking about like real analysis for people who are more interested in the details, but like the average Democratic voter or the average person who is going to vote should be receiving deeply simple messages that create an if-then scenario in their minds. If I vote for these people, I will get or I will not get X. And it's just like the overcomplication of things allows Republicans to constantly muddy the waters on Democratic achievements. It allows them to be like, Hunter Biden, you know, like, right. You know, who cares? Like, so I just think simple messaging, $7,500 for a new car.
Joe Biden is giving you $7,500 to get a Tesla. You can make up to $100. You can be a rich person and you can still get free money to get an electric car.
And we're also lowering prescription drug prices. Oh my gosh.
That's going to be huge. Yes, lowering those prescription details drug prices. Are, over time, you're saving an insane amount of money.
We have 2 of the 5 sentences. We also have the Democrats want to strengthen background checks and make sure you don't get shot at the grocery store. I feel like that's a pretty salient message. You also have Donald Trump is an insane person, and the people who are in his party want to bring him back and will maybe make him Speaker of the House if they win the House. Do you want a ketchup throwing goon to be the Speaker of the House? I don't think so. That's message four. And five, I feel like you can adapt to whatever region
we're
talking about. Those are my
absolutely.
They should pay me for that. I'm sure someone is getting paid like $100,000 a month to tell them much dumber shit.
The only person doing a great job is whoever's making the Moms Against Greg Abbott ads. That person should be making every fucking ad that's out there. No, that's Moms Against. That's the good one. Moms Against Greg Abbott is just like the pro bono one.
They're just generally against him.
Yes, against Greg Abbott.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So Republicans are also already saying that this is Democrats letting inflation get worse, reckless spending, blah, blah, blah. I'm wondering if you think that, I think the fact that Manchin did hold out for so long will maybe benefit Democrats against this, because he was always like, I don't want reckless spending. I don't want to make inflation work. So the fact that he actually came around to this should signal to some moderate voters like, all right, well, if this guy who has not let us do anything about inflation for years now was fine with this, then I'm not sure I buy Mitch McConnell's claim.
I tend to not. When someone talks about spending, I simply ignore their statement, because I don't believe that that is ever a real reason for anything. When Congress wants to find money for something, they find it pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So spending just is kind of like, picture a video game. And like one of your like special effects you can throw out is like the spending excuse. It's right. Like if you're in Mario Kart, it's like that weak ass turtle shell thing that like might go in any direction and really doesn't do much. It's like getting the worst power in Mario Kart and just throwing it out there. And it comes back and hits you too. You're fucked. And it's just like, I don't, you say spending,
it doesn't mean
say,
anything.
Okay, show me your whole record on that topic, because I don't believe you. I don't believe you care. If the spending was for you or something that benefited you, you would be like, of course we're spending it at whatever cost. So I don't know. Just, they should be banned. It's like a child who shouldn't be allowed to say it's not fair. Although I said that all the time as a child. I'm still hung up on the lack of fairness, frankly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's just become sort of like a shorthand that they all use, and together they all understand that it is meaningless.
It just means excuse.
Excuse, right.
It means I don't feel like it, and I'm just going to say this.
So the question now is, does this bill have the coveted 50 Democratic votes in the Senate to get by through reconciliation? Well, that depends what Kristen Sinema has to say about it. This is part of a bigger deficit reduction bill that raises $740 billion in revenue. That includes money to bring down, like we said, prescription drug prices. Sinema has apparently not given any assurances on the bill or promised to oppose Republican amendments that are going to come up soon on a big Votorama for this. Manchin and Schumer also agreed on some tax stuff together that she's on record opposing. So hard to tell. You know, I'm seeing a lot of excitement about this, but also this kind of like, well, we don't know. She said before, but I think this isn't a conversation. And I think we were saying this morning, like about, oh, is she going to support these things? It's now a conversation about like, is she willing to be the person who's responsible for this not happening?
Totally. Like, I think she'll want to like put up a little tantrum. Like she'll do mini, like a baby tantrum in an office somewhere. We'll hear about they had a meeting. It was tense, but blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And my prediction is ultimately sexism will not allow her to be the one to hold this bill up. Like Joe Manchin can get away with it because he's a man.
You saying sexism is going to maybe save the climate bill?
Yeah, I am implying that. I think
title
that,
of the ep.
Yeah, I think she is not going to be able to pull off, because she's a woman, being the one to stand in the way. They're just going to strong arm her somehow in a way that they can't do to Manchin because he is of his unique position as a Democrat in West Virginia.
Manchin could have maintained opposition to this and he still would have been elected in West Virginia. I'm not sure. I don't think Kyrsten Sinema can maintain opposition and still get elected in Arizona.
The party has to be like, we're not letting you do this. That's the point of a party. Like,
she's apparently not going to the caucus meetings either now.
She just doesn't want to go to a meeting, probably.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. She just has like, another
runs,
job.
She just runs marathons. And like, I don't know. Well, she's definitely probably taking meetings from lobbyists.
But didn't
today.
She, didn't she like literally have another job? We
she
found
was
out.
Like an intern at a winery.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she's at the winery.
That's what she's doing. She yeah. can't be reached.
Like, I don't think this woman has the seriousness to be able to actually pull off a legitimate opposition. And hopefully True. She doesn't hear this and just do it out of a reaction.
I don't think she will.
But I don't think she's busy. She's at the winery.
She treats her job as she's like a board member. Like, it's really not the most important thing to her. She will show up and be like, actually, no. This is why. She's like, I can't do this time because I have a marathon then and I have a meeting with everybody in the oil and gas industry then. But then yeah. she'll just raise her hand. And you know what? There are probably some senators that do that. And, you know, maybe their staff does their whole job and they just, you know, they just show up and do what they said and they don't put up a fight. But she definitely is just like, and yeah, I don't think it's really worth her time. She's like, I got shit to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly how she treats this. Yeah, we don't work in August. That's exactly how she treats the job, like she is a board member, because board members are expected to act that way. Mm-hmm. And she thinks that that is like how this works. But it's like, no, you are a servant of the people.
Well, we'll see. I mean, this should happen rather quickly. I think that Schumer thinks that as long as there's momentum, they want to see it happen quickly. They're doing this through budget reconciliation. So the parliamentarian has to go through it and make sure all of these technically relate to spending and budget. I mean, climate is a pretty neat way to take advantage of this and maybe get it done more quickly. And then we'll have a victory to tout around and, you know, keep telling your friends that they can get, as much as I hate to give Elon Musk more free money from the government. People fucking love Teslas. So
you can get an electric car from like any company, and you can get a really nice one from not Tesla, just so you know. Like, they are
yes.
very good from all companies. I haven't really driven that many, but so I don't want to give any spawn. But, you know, if any companies want to provide me with an electric car to try out, I will.
Yeah. And I think just looking forward to midterms, you know, as much as there are, you know, people that feel stuck in professions that rely on kind of like emissions, we're talking about the flooding. Like, I think by now there are more people in more places that have been very close to or experienced like something close to climate catastrophe that like they're done. Like, do you think that tipping point is kind of here?
It's hard to say because yeah. I'm not.
It doesn't feel like fully.
It's hard to say as someone who truly does not live at all in a culture where my job is dependent on this or my livelihood is in any way dependent on staying on non-renewable energy sources. So I don't, and also like, I don't get the messaging that these people get. So I don't really know.
It's probably more the special interests than the people right. at this
well,
point.
Well, I also just don't even know if I think that people tie the flooding to climate change. Like, is the person who's sitting on their roof in Kentucky waiting to be rescued, like, cursing the coal industry, or are they just like, this act of God is horrible? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't know, because I think seeing climate change and human industrial actions as the reason why they are sitting on their roof waiting to be rescued, I think is not like, depends where you come from, how strongly you link those things. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. That is our show for today. I'm curious to see what this week holds for the climate bill. Please, God, let there still be a climate bill by the end of this week. It feels very tenuous. I feel like just We got to get through this week. We got to get it done. Let's make sure Kristen Sinema has a very busy August. So she just is like, it's in her.
Someone sent
it's
her
in
gift.
Her leisure interest to just vote for this and move on with her life.
Yeah.
Senator Sinema, please. That is our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.